rules in this game of life. 365 days on the grind. Something stirring, I might need to unwind. Then there's you. Hey there, and welcome to Drunk Distory Presents The Dark Ride 2024 edition. We are a fun theme parks themed game show with zero prizes and lots of drinking. If you're a returning listener, well, thank you so much for coming back. If you're new here, welcome. My name is Adrian. I'm here with my co-host Ryan. We are two people who love all things theme parks and started this podcast so we can drink all about them with fellow theme parks loving fans, just like yourself. Today, we're going to take a leisurely stroll down to the virtual tavern. There's no dry January here. We're going to have a chill chat and say hi to you guys. Welcome to the new year and talk about something that every Disney vacationer goes through, and that's planning their Disney vacations and the anxieties that come with that, and hopefully we can quell some of them. So we are going to head up to the bar and grab a little drink, and we'll be right back.
Happy New Year, Adrian.
Happy New Year, Ryan.
Happy New Year to all you lovely people out there in podcast land. Did you have a great holiday, Adrian?
I did. I had a very nice holiday. It was chill. And then I had chill. I had a very chill New Year's.
Okay,
and,
cool.
It was very nice. What about yourself?
I did 5 days with my entire family in Rhode Island.
You lived to tell the tale.
I lived to tell the tale. It was had its ups and downs. It was mostly nice, but my family, like, since the pandemic, we've had this weird thing of, like, we shelter in place when we're together now. Like, we're practicing for the end times. So there was a lot of practice for the end times, you know. Go into the garage and go to our pandemic shelter or like pantry, you know, like get one of the 75 tomato sauce jars off of the shelf so we can make dinner, that kind of stuff. It's a little like I'm glad that they're prepared, but if they think that I'm spending the end times with them, another thing coming.
I mean, I never have as many canned goods anywhere close to the amount of my parents have. Like, I'm always shocked. Like, if I say to my mom, like, do you have the... Yeah, I got it. And I'm like, it's like Stop and Shop there.
Yeah.
You know, like, the peaches. Like, I don't have canned peaches.
When I go to leave my house, my mom starts loading me up with, like, her canned goods. Do you want a box of crackers? You're like, what? No, I don't want a box of crackers. Yeah. And she's like, please just take these crackers. Like, take them, Ryan.
Please.
Take the crackers, Ryan. Canned peaches. Like, are you making a cobbler anytime soon? You made one. You made one cobbler one time in 98. Why do you still have peaches? These are new peaches? How is it that they are new peaches?
I did get a lot of good, like, Christmas leftovers. My mom gave me, like, a big tub of it. I mean, I ate it for, like, 3 days because it was, like...
We had
like,
solid
food. I just want pepperoni
food.
Pizza. Yes, you get like that for the holidays? Like, you're just like, I love all this food,
enough
but
of
now
this,
I just want...
Enough of this high-quality food. Give me some za.
Need some garbo.
Yeah, we ate really well. My mom cooked up a storm. And they had just gotten back from a big trip. They went on a cruise.
Nice.
We like cruises over here. So, they went on a cruise. They just got back from like South America. They've been traveling all over the world lately, which is amazing. But I'm very impressed that my mom even like put up with any of our dog shit, you know, like from me and my brothers and like cooked us anything. Cause like she got off a boat literally like, I don't know, 48 hours before I came back for Christmas.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Your parents are enjoying retirement.
Oh, they're killing it. They're doing it right, for sure. If I can do it like they do it, then we're going to have a good...
Seems like it would be what you would do more. Like, you would, you know, have one residence and then just travel around.
Yeah, I'd try to prioritize that, I think. We'll see. I mean, If I can have multiple residences and travel around, that sounds even better. But
yeah,
but that's not the case, probably. So
sure.
Yeah.
Well, we have some time to worry about that.
Yeah.
not too much.
Hopefully, less than I'd like it to. You know.
Yeah.
If I could retire tomorrow, I would.
So now is the time. Like, if you're on any social media, all I saw yesterday and today. And for the Disney dropped their newest discounts for 2024. The Disney dropped, they announced that, you know, the dining plan is back.
Mm-hmm.
And the discounts for the winter and the spring are out and everything like that.
Next week, so, park hopping is back. We got reservations is back. We're going back in time right now.
If you go on My Disney Experience now and you want to book a room, you have to sit in a waiting room.
Whoa.
Like, there's literally something comes up that says there's a large amount of people on the site right now. You're in the waiting room. Like, I was in the waiting room because I had to book a couple of nights for next month. And I was in the waiting room for 6 minutes.
They have, like cool elevator music and, like, Highlights magazine and shit.
They got Spaceship Earth, and they have someone, like, flying around it in a Spaceship Earth vehicle.
If they had the like sound
not Spaceship
overlay.
Earth. I'm sorry, Space Mountain. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, if they had the Spaceship Earth and they had the sound overlay of Judi Dench just talking you through it, I would be in. Nice. I would just be signing onto hotels and then later on getting rid of them.
Yeah.
Just to hang out.
So, with that, because there's a lot of people planning things right now, there was an article that came out on the Diz. We all know about them.
Oh yeah, great source for very accurate content at all times. This is what I've
heard. I don't actually use them for, well, I mean, like, I don't use them for news. I know about their podcast, but like they had an article called Planning a Disney World Vacation is Not as Fun as It Used to Be. I mean, not a groundbreaking statement. We all kind of know that, but
agreed. But was it ever fun? Like, you know, like, it's always been a pain in the ass. It might be more of a pain in the ass now, but was it ever fun?
And this article was actually written in 2022, which it came up in my feed, but it's an older article, but it says on there everything still applies because it is true. So this has been the case for quite some time that it's not, you know, a super fun experience because there's, like we've talked about ad nauseum, it's not easy to go to Disney anymore. There's a lot of moving parts,
mm-hmm.
and even the seasoned Disney goer is like confused by things. Like actually today I was on the phone with my sister because we're going on a little family trip, very quick little family trip next month for my nephew's birthday. And
awesome.
So he's going to get to spend his birthday in Disney, which I think everyone should experience. So if you haven't yet, do it because it's a nice thing.
I'm never going to experience it. I'm not doing it. I even if I could do it, I wouldn't do it. It's a garbage day to be there. So.
And it wouldn't be like you wouldn't get the same thing because it's
a garbage day to be there. So I'm not doing it.
You should do it one time where you.
I could do my 6 month.
Birthday.
Yeah, I could do my 6 month and then just say it's my birthday.
Or go in November.
It's not like they check your card. They don't check your ID.
Go in November or early December and say it's your birthday. Like you're celebrating your birthday.
In fact, we're going to be giving tips later on. So this is one of my tips. When you first get into the park of Magic Kingdom, lie. Tell them it's your birthday and get the button. Doesn't matter if it's your real birthday. They're not going to check your ID. Just lie. It's fine. You'll get treated special.
A lot of people do birthday trips that don't fall on their actual birthday. It's all good. But we're actually going to be there on his actual birthday. And my sister, who's a...
He's going to be like a little sultan that day. I can just see him strutting down Main Street. Oh, yeah.
He's on the shyer side as he's gotten a little... He doesn't like...
He doesn't like the attention.
Because you know what? He's like... He's the kid that's like... He was like the first student of the month.
Uh-huh.
And so the teachers all love him, so it's always funny the kids that actually like get the like he feels weird about it. Like he doesn't like getting like praise and stuff like that.
Oh, so he has nothing to do with his aunt then.
Yeah. We're different. I'm like, bring on the praise.
Celebrate me? What? Yes, okay.
Yeah, he's a little bit shyer with that. He gets a little but so what was I going to say? So my sister was on the phone with her today, and she was like, I was like, well, are you, I said, just casually, are you going to get Genie Plus that day? Like, on one of the days, she goes, what exactly is that? And I was like, I'm like, this is, my sister is someone who knows, but she's like, what is it, what is the difference? And I'm like, and she's like, and how much is it? And I'm like, well, you know, it goes up and down depending on the day, the week, and the time of the year. I mean, it's now, it's on a, it's like avocados.
It's a very difficult concept, and I hope that they, you know, put it in a trash compactor and never let it out soon.
Yeah.
Because it just come up with a better way. Like, this is, it's a bad way to do this, you know?
And we're there literally, well, I'm going to be there longer. Obviously, I'm staying for the weekend. They're there for 2 nights, 3 days. And, like, she's stressed out about things and, like, planning things. And I'm just like, I'm seeing, I mean, it's a good kind of stress. It's a fun stress.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's, of course. It's not like, you know,
yeah.
You don't have a deadline at work, but you do have to book your dining reservations, you know, out ahead. So,
yeah, and she didn't get dining reservations as she wanted. So that was the first stress. And she can't get the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique for my niece. And that was sold out right away.
Yeah.
And like, all these things are just sold out.
But your niece does your niece know about Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique? Is it like high on her list of like, oh, it's going to ruin my trip? Like,
no. I don't think she even needs it because my niece wears princess dresses. Now she is
daily.
Like her aunt.
Yes.
She literally has a closet of princess dresses. And if you call on the phone, she's in one on the couch. Like, She's a lot like me. Very, very girly.
She's a lot and a lot like you, which is perfect.
Yeah.
Which
that's
is
why
perfect.
I'm obsessed.
We wouldn't
with her
want life. Her any other way.
Always doing her makeup, and I'm like, where'd you learn that? Let's talk about first of all what's stressful, and then what we would.
Cool. Yeah. For
how
sure.
We would make it less stressful. I think that's the game. So the stressful things we know, obviously, you mentioned one.
Mm-hmm.
You have to make your dining reservations 60 days out if you want to get like places you really want.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, like that's like in the detail of it, right? I mean, like it's a big detail, but it's like in the detail. I think the biggest stressful thing for not first timers, like people like us that grew up or whatever, is that like it's different now, right? Like it's like getting over like that idea that it's like, oh, it's the same as when I was young, and like you could just kind of wing it. Like you can't wing this. You have to do like some sort of plan. So like I think that, you know, like, you know, the first thing is that like getting rid of those thoughts of like, oh, well, this is just a regular trip to a theme park. Like, no, it's not.
So you're
like,
saying the when do you go is the first.
Yeah, I think the when do you go is the first. Yep.
Right. And we've talked about this too, where we've had people that don't go off and they're like, oh, I'm going next week. And we're like, you know, that's a terrible time to go. If you didn't know that, you think you could just go whenever.
Yeah.
You don't know. Like if you're on the side that doesn't know that, that's.
And you can just go whenever, but like you're setting yourself up for like, there's like my entire game plan for like doing a Disney trip is like, how do I get rid of all the as many variables of shitty as I can? And, you know, if I can get rid of like five variables of like, you know, bad, or at least do my best to get rid of those, then like, I'm just like setting myself for more and more success. And then things will fall into place, you know, like as long as you're like not setting yourself up for like a bad time. But if you're like, oh, it's my first time ever, and I'm just gonna, you know, pull the ripcord and go Christmas Day, you know, magical, this is gonna be the most magical Christmas ever. Like, nah, bro, it's not. It's gonna be a tough day. It's gonna be a tough day for you.
I think that you shouldn't be allowed to go on Christmas Day unless you've been there at least 10 times.
Like, you want to gatekeep the gate?
I think you should I'm protecting them. I'm protecting all those people. Or at least you've had to have been there once before, because it can't be the first time you experience it. Should be a rule.
For
it
sure.
Because it's,
or it
it's,
should come with a warning. Like,
yeah.
Have you been here before? Do you know what you're doing?
Right. You got to decide when you're going, and that's stressful.
There's a ton of crowd calendars out there that will help. you know, go use them. They're like Undercover Tourist is a great example of that.
Yeah.
And you know, like most of them are free. I think there's some that you can pay for too. Like if you know, trust something that you're paying for more, go for it.
I use those crowd calendars for years. Like the one that I'm thinking of is from Touring Plans, I think.
Yep, they have a great one too.
Because they give you the simple sort of like logical prediction. Like they'll be like, these are the best parks to go to on this day because of X, Y, and Z, because this one has an early entry and this one doesn't. And those are really good sort of matrices to like figure out when you're going to go and like what park you're going to go to on those days.
Exactly. Yeah. Like your general plan. And they're taking into action, like, things that you're not going to know about. For example, like I did not use them this last time. I just assumed that, you know, when I was going to go, I was going for a specific thing. I was going for Halloween Horror Nights, and I knew it was going to be a busy time. And, you know, but I picked the week in October that I thought was going to be, you know, a little bit more chill than the others, not knowing that the Midwest has a random vacation week that week, you know. But if you look at the touring plan, it's shown there. It's like it's, you know, that's a yellow week. That's not a green week. So, right. You know, pick the green weeks. There's fewer and fewer and fewer of them, to be honest, you know, like out there. But they still do exist. And they
still do exist. I mean, I'm someone that goes multiple times a year, and I see the busier times and the less busy times. They exist. I mean, it's never going to be empty. It's never going to be COVID.
No.
It's never going to be like what we knew as 10 years ago as the first week of December being the sweet spot that no one knew about because of people like us. That doesn't exist anymore. So, there's no like dead week, but there are slower times.
Yeah, and you should go during those if you can. And you know, if you're doing this trip as a Disney adult, like without kids, which is kind of what this podcast is about, you don't have to play by like all the schedules and stuff like that the kids have. And if your kids are young enough, like just take them out of school. It doesn't fucking matter. What are they learning? Shapes? Come on, doesn't matter.
Yeah, take them out of school. It's fine.
Yeah.
Says two people that are not parents.
Yeah, exactly. We know.
We know all this stuff. All right, so hypothetically, you've done your research. You found a week that looks pretty good. I will also say to add to that, obviously, and this is something that I've seen a lot this year, the difference of the crowds on weekdays versus weekends. Like Disney didn't use Disney World specifically. I think this is probably true in Disneyland. Like it's always been in Disneyland as a local park that the weekends are going to be crowded. Because the locals go there a lot and they're off on the weekends. Disney World didn't used to have that because it was such a tourist destination that, like, there wasn't this huge differentiator, but now there is. The weekends are, the rooms are more expensive, way more expensive, sometimes double, and they are, and it's more crowded. It's just Friday, Saturday, Sunday are very crowded. So if you can, and I did this on my November trip, I went from Sunday to Thursday, night and day, from the people that were there the weekend before and after me. They had like insane crowds, and I had nothing. I didn't. That was a really good weekend, really good week for going.
See?
So if you have the flexibility, I would go during the week. That's just a tip. So hypothetically, you've done your research. We should also mention, you know, the big one for newbies, work with a travel agent. Work with somebody that does this stuff. Don't just go online and book things.
We've talked about it a number of times. It's it doesn't cost you anything.
So, doesn't cost you anything extra.
Yeah, they're getting paid from other. They're getting paid from Disney. They're getting paid elsewhere. So your booking is it's just going to make it less stressful for you.
Yeah. Like there's some people that like are my close personal friend, Travel Agent William. His name is literally Travel Agent William. He knows every week he picks are like that he goes is because he's really versed on the crowd calendar. So that's another reason why, like, they can also give you advice of, like, this is the good week to go. If they kind of take away the need to do this personal research yourself, because they're so tuned in on that type of stuff.
Yeah. And I think, like, most people listening to this probably know, but maybe, you know, maybe there's, new people here that aren't super into Disney. You're trying to plan your first Disney trip. If your travel agent says, you might want to consider staying on property, they're not trying to, like, upsell you. Like, there's like, really good reasons behind that. And on my tips, you know, staying on property is, like, super high up there. In fact, it's, like, it's even on there for, like, the cost savings of not having to Uber everywhere or not having to pay for a car and pay for parking and all that kind of shit. Like, all that goes away. All that goes away if you're staying on property. And that's something that, like, a travel agent will be able to tell you if you've never been there before or if you're, like, you know, not remembering how things work. Because nowadays, like, you kind of get a little nickel and dime. There's no more transportation directly, like, with Mears or with the Magical Express. Is Mears not working right now either, right?
So Mears Mears and the other one that was called the some train. I forget what it was.
Oh, yeah, the
I forget what the name was. Sunshine
Express?
Yeah, they've actually merged. So okay. Now they're just Mears. Yeah.
Cool. So those are still available. I mean, it's a paid ride, but it's not that expensive. But otherwise, you know, like, you have to find your transportation from Orlando and from the airport. So I'm a big proponent of, like, using ride shares. I think ride shares are your buddy, and then stay on property. And you can also, like, use, like, certain ride shares. Like, I know there's one called, like, Tiffany Town Car, I think it's called. And they will, like, do a stop off like, to get groceries, if you want to, like, stop and get groceries on the way or whatever. And that's another one of my little tips, I guess, is, and I know Adrian does this a lot, is get groceries either delivered to your room or...
I do Instacart, and I do it at the... Either I could... You could... if you have the app, because I use it here in New York City, too, if you could schedule it, or when you're in the airport, you could do it. And it's literally... It's such a quick delivery service, and the way that Disney, like, stores... They store your groceries for you in a... So if you're not there and they arrive... And they give them the Bell services, and then, you know, you can come back and they'll even bring them to your room if you don't want to go and get them. If you have a lot of stuff, this is a good tip. For $5, they'll bring them to your room.
Really?
So, yes. So, like, there was times where I had, like, big thing of waters and everything, and I'm like, and they were like, yeah, I could just call and say, can you bring it to my room? And they charge it $5 to bring it up, and it's a nice, you know, little...
Yeah, I mean, if you're, like, far away at a value resort, that's a killer tip right there.
It's a killer
that
tip.
That is definitely worth $5.
I will say, like, at All Star Sports, at least, which I've stayed at this whole year, if you go and get it, they'll give you, like a luggage cart and put it all in the luggage cart, and then you don't even have to bring the luggage cart back. They're like, just leave it outside your room, and we'll come around and pick them up. So they make it super easy for you. Disney doesn't try to be like, oh, since you got groceries, we're going to be an a-hole about it. Like, yeah. They're, you know.
And you can, like, you can Amazon stuff right to your room. You can, there's just so many options. And, you know, if you cut out breakfast every day, that's, like, you know, for you and your family, that could save you $200 easy, $300 easy by the end of your trip.
I cut out iced coffee because I get the Starbucks. I have that in my grocery delivery and my half and half. And every day I make my own ice. And I'm not spending $6 a day on iced coffee.
Right.
And I have it when I'm getting ready. It doesn't waste time too. It's nice.
Totally.
It's a great, there's so many little tricks like
that. And there's fridges in the rooms.
There's a whole little setup. You get the ice, you get, you know, the coffee and everything, but you can make it even more comfortable for yourself. So now what do you think of challenges with choosing a resort? I mean, like, we both agree stay on property. And I will say, to Ryan's point on that, every single time I do a trip, like I right now I just had a booked like two additional nights from when my family is there, I always check the prices around town just to see if it's like, is Disney like super high compared to the places in town. Maybe I can stay somewhere else and, you know, take an Uber or whatever. Especially when it comes to a value, it is usually so much lower than any resort in the area, like a reputable good resort. Mm-hmm. And I'm not paying resort fees, I'm not paying for Ubers around, like I'm
yep.
It's the value of that to me. I would much rather stay at a value than stay at a nice Marriott, unless you have the points, you know, that's off property where I'm going to have other things to worry about through the course of my trip.
Yeah, but if you have Marriott points, then stay at the Swan and Dolphin. So,
oh yeah, stay at the Swan and Dolphin. So, do you find there's any anxiety with picking a hotel?
I mean, like I get a little FOMO with the hotel, right? So, like I want the Contemporary. I want the
Poly. You have caviar wishes.
Yeah, and spam dreams. My reality is, you know, is that of a value resort, or maybe a lower end, mid or possibly a deluxe. Like there's some deluxes that have good prices, and depending on the week, you know. So I think that you should look at everything, look at all of your availability, but like at the end. I think that the way I've gotten over it is how much time am I actually spending at the hotel? You know, like if this is a baller trip where I'm planning on spending time at the hotel, then I will upgrade my hotel to something that's going to be better because I'm going to be spending time there. But if not, then like I'm going to let all the other free theming, you know, that I'm going to experience be my little happy spot, and I'm going to stay at a value that they're very nice still, you know, that it's all clean linens, it's all, you know, they're comfortable beds, it's all that part's all the same. So or not the same, and but like similar
safety. And then safety also, like I feel like when I'm on Disney property, I feel like they've got my back. Like I feel very safe. Not that there's not, you know, but it's one of those situations where, because it is so insular, and like, you know, you have to go through security, you gotta go, like it makes me feel, it's very well lit, everything is very clean. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So you don't feel like there's a lot of, like, you feel sort of like, okay, I'm gonna be okay walking back to my room at night.
Totally.
Whereas I have stayed off property, and I'm like, I don't feel, at some places, I don't feel super comfortable, you know, walking a half a mile on a very dark place where everyone's cars are there and people are sitting outside. And
sure.
I've had experiences where I haven't felt so comfortable. I've had friends who've had experiences where they haven't felt super comfortable. But there are wonderful hotels surrounding Disney. It's not, this is not, I'm not speaking about all of them. I feel the same way about feeling safe on Universal property as well.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, that's like a less the bubble is much tighter to the edges, I guess, but it's still like you definitely feel like you're in a bubble there too. So,
yeah. So, but I think like when people say it's not fun to book a Disney trip anymore, they're probably speaking about how like if you just go online and you do it yourself. And it's sort of like, well, do I, you know,
My Disney experience sucks, right? Like it's a bad website.
It does suck. It's a bad website. I don't know why. I don't know why they can't get the infrastructure on that thing to be a little bit better. And it doesn't really guide you. It's not set up to be like, it would be great if it was like step one. And like, it was one of those type of websites that was a little bit more check your rooms, check ticket prices. It's very disjointed. Like everything's on there, but it's not like it's not a process.
Yeah. You kind of feel like you've been thrown to the wolves with it a little bit. Like,
yeah. So I mean,
good luck, motherfucker.
Before you book anything, before you're like ready to book, just go tool around on there, set up an account. You have to have an account to use the website. We're talking about mydisneyexperience.com. But if you play around with it a little bit and you see, like instead of saying, like, they do silly things like this. Like, instead of saying, like, resorts, it says places to stay.
Yeah.
Which, you know, like, so you, but you, the more you go on there, you get used to their, like, sort of lingo. Like, instead of, like dining is under, like, things to do. Like, it's not, it's
the event of feeding your stomach.
Yeah. So I suggest go on there and tool around a little bit. There is a lot of great information on there. Like, each resort has, like, great photos and information about what they have at each one. And so you could sort of, like, go see what you're vibing with.
Yeah.
Go see what's, like...
I will say that, like, all things are not created equal, though, like, on that site.
No, they're too, not.
You know, so it's like, oh, this one restaurant has, like, a full, you know... a full write-up and it's got so much information about it. And then this other restaurant has a single line that says, "We have food." You know, like, it's they're not all even, which I don't really understand. It's just another way, reason that website's kind of, you know, dog shit. But it's what we have. And if you don't want to use it and you want to talk to a real person, like Adrian said, call a travel agent and use them because they will do all of this.
Yeah,
they will book your dining. They will book your get your tickets. They will do it all. They'll hook up your whole trip.
Yes. So, all right. Should we've talked, I guess, about what's not easy about it. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Do you want to talk about how we would make the process more fun,
sure,
or at least more manageable?
Yeah. Sure.
We've said a couple of them already.
Mm-hmm.
I could go first
if
you want.
Sure.
So the ones that we said already, use a travel agent. I'm gonna take that one off the table and let's pretend that you're going a la carte. If you are, the first step is, in my opinion, is to check websites like Touring Plans. But I do think before that, the number one thing I would say is set a realistic budget. Because I think you need to know sort of what you would like to spend
coming out.
Yeah. Like, if let's, like, hypothetically say, like, I was doing my party of one and I was like, I really don't want to spend more than $1,500 on this trip, or and my that's what I want to spend. My max is $2,000. If this, you could do it for way cheaper, but if that's an average, right? I need to know that so that then when I'm doing things, I could start plugging and playing and figuring out, like, all right, I need accommodations, I need flights, I need tickets. Those are the three things I need from being someone out of town. So, and you know, my first thing is making sure that those things fit in that budget.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause if they're not possible, then maybe I got to play with other times of the years and that type of thing. So, that's the, and I'm saying realistic because you do have to also know that Disney and Universal Vacations are not cheap, but they don't have to be super expensive either.
Yeah, they're both not cheap and yet not as expensive as people will make you think that they are. Like, people,
yeah,
will say, like, oh man, I had this trip and
$40,000.
Yeah. I could have gotten married for less. You know, like,
yeah, that's nonsense.
Like, you can do it that way, but you don't. Like, it can. That's not the only way. In fact, it's probably not the. It's not even a good way.
It's not the best. And also, too, but when you do have that realistic budget, then when you're going through the hotels, it automatically cuts things out. So when we're trying to make things easier, make things fun, we want to start Xing things off so that we're not having the Cheesecake Factory menu of like,
yeah, too much.
Because, like, I can go right now on my Disney experience and look at the hotels and I will see a range from $131 a night that it's showing me to available hotels that are $2,789 a night.
Well, that's where I'm staying.
So I could right away, if I had that budget, know, okay, these ones are not even fitting. There's no freaking way. So don't even look at it.
I mean, you can look at it, but you should look at it because they're cool. Those are, like, really cool rooms.
We're trying to make this fun.
Yeah, dream a little, but just know that you're not getting it.
My other tip would be that, like, when it comes to that is, like, you could book a hotel. If you're staying on property, and you know I do this a lot,
mm-hmm.
you could initially book something and constantly change it as you see rates change and as you see availability open up.
I get, like, very anxious with this. I've done it before, and it's worked out. But, like, prior to it working out, I was so – without you, I would have been very anxious going through this process. You know, having you be like, yeah, it's not a big deal. Just chill out. You're fine. Like, you can do that. It takes nothing.
What about it made you anxious?
I think just, like, am I going to fuck it up and then lose my original one or, like, all this kind of stuff. But it is set up, and you can also, you know, the last time I called Disney and had, like, a conversation with one of their resorts cast member representatives, yes. And they, you know, they kind of acted like what a travel agent would have done. And they kind of walked me through it, and, you know, and work ended up being that it wouldn't have made sense for me to change or rebook or anything like that.
Sure.
But, you know, there's, like, availability even within the house to make you feel, like, a little bit safer about, like, not ruining your reservation or whatever.
I will say to anybody listening, if you have that same anxiety as Ryan, if you do book on your own and you book through My Disney Experience, you just, all you have to do, you're going to go to the page that says View My Plans, and you're going to see your hotel show up, and it's literally going to say cancel reservation or change reservation. You're going to hit change reservation, and then it's going to show you a whole bunch of things. It can show you, like, if you want to change your room that you selected at that specific resort, or you can click change resort, and it will just show you all the other resorts and what's available and what their prices are. And then if you see one you like, you click it, and it makes you kind of, it'll say to you, are you sure you want to change this? So it's giving you the gates before it just cancels anything or changes anything.
Sure.
So it's on the, you have to literally be like, and if you, like, Disney makes you pay for the first night of any resort reservation right off the bat. So if you change to any other, like, any other price, even if it's a dollar difference more, you have to pay that dollar difference more. So you have to put your credit card in again, mm-hmm, and everything. Mm-hmm, just mm-hmm. So you'll be okay if you do it. But yeah, maybe if it's your first time, you don't want to do that. But I only bring that up to say that if you feel like, oh, I really wanted to stay at this resort, don't. But this one was the better price, and it wasn't available. Like, don't give up, because it could open up and the price could go down. So and you could always change it.
And that's right, the same thing with the same thing with dining reservations too. You know, continue looking for dining reservations for those places that you want right up until that day, you know?
You never know. They can open up.
People cancel their trips all the time, you know, shit happens. So, you know, somebody else's, you know, cancellation can be your windfall.
Yeah, and good for you.
Yeah.
And the last thing I'll say before you go, because I feel like a lot of these other ones we covered, to make it more fun, or for me, I would almost use the word fun as manageable, break it up. And what I mean by that is book your resort, like, make that your goal for, like, 1 month or whatever, 1 week. The next week, book your flights, you know, like, and then the following week, figure out your park days and what tickets you're going to need and blah, 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 and buy your tickets. And then the following, you know, when you're 60 days out, do your food and your extras. Like, it doesn't all have to be done in one fell swoop. And I do it this way even still, and it makes it more manageable for me. Like, I'll book my resort first so that I know I've got this is where I'm okay with this price, and I'm okay with going at this time. Now I got to figure out the flight thing. And the resort, I can always cancel if I can't find flights that work with that. But the other way around, it's more difficult for me to cancel a flight versus a hotel.
True.
So I have that in there first. And then, you know, it's fun to then start playing with the park date. After you have those things in order, it's fun to start playing with, I'm going to go to Magic this day or Epcot that day, or I'm going to take, you know, and sort of work that out within that. And then, you know, when it comes time for food, that can be its own thing. It doesn't all have to be figured out right in the moment. It could be broken up. And I think that makes it fun because there's still more. The planning is, especially if you're not someone that goes all the time, is a huge part of the fun.
Yeah, agreed.
Because it's when you start getting excited about things.
Totally. And
it doesn't have to be not fun.
And that's kind of my tip on it is watch vids, listen to podcasts like this, you know, like all these things are just going to like give you a little bit more information, but also just like kind of get you pumped up for this thing, you know, like have the, you know, make sure that the people in your group like know, you know, like know what are their top things that they want to experience at each of the places. Like, you know, make sure that everybody's getting involved in whatever way. Because although there's really, I guess, only one person that's like doing the major planning, you know, like everybody else is going to be sharing every moment of the day to day of this, of the outcome. So, you know, get them involved kind of like earlier on. That way, you know, there's, you know, 50 restaurants to pick from. Like, you know, why don't you do some research and then throw them out to your group, your party, and be like, you know, do you guys want to, you know, watch a, you know, be at a 50s, you know, prime time dinner setting with your aunt Linda, or do you want to you know, see you know, go to an ice cream social, you know, at Beaches and Cream, or do you want to like go to a tiki lounge? You know, I mean, like all these things exist, you know, within a little bus ride of one another. So I think
do you think that the thing about it, people feeling like things are not fun, is because they liked not planning? Because even though, like when I was little, when I planned trips with my mom, and we loved planning, we still planned.
It was still a lot of planning, for sure.
Yeah, it was still planning because we had to figure out sort of like, you know, where we were going to go, what day, and we didn't have to solidify things as much now as we do now.
Yeah. I think that it's like the
planning involved.
I think that it's like the way that Disney is having us plan, and like how many of these things are a little bit foreign, like the Lightning Lane or Genie Plus or virtual queues. What the fuck is a virtual queue? You know, like things that are a little bit like, and I don't know, amorphous or new to like to the idea. That's like, oh, it's like a Disney only thing, you know, right. like and most people don't know what a fucking queue is, you know. We start at the start. And that's the virtual queue apparently at 7 a.m
Speaking of Genie Plus, like you don't have to decide that right away. And you could wait until the day of to pick it, to get it if you want. I mean, I think you should at least decide it the night before, because you want to get, if you're staying on property, you want to get that 7 a.m. Lightning Lane that you're able to pick at 7 a.m. But you could go there and check out the crowds in general and be like, okay, you know what? We're going to need light. We're going to need Genie Plus.
Yeah, but make that decision pretty quick, because when I was there, I made that decision around like 11:30.
No, don't do that.
And I fucked myself. Like, I mean, you just like wasted the money. Like, I think it worked out really well for like one or two lines, you know, that like I was able to get on significantly faster. But it was pretty much a waste of $30 for me and everyone.
Well, that's why I'm saying not that I wouldn't. You can wait till the day of, but I would definitely decide it the night before.
Yeah,
that you're going to do it. Okay, what about you? What are anything else that you want to add with that?
You know, make a plan and stick to it, kind of like what we've been saying. But, you know, have the elasticity to pivot, because, like, you're going to need to pivot on that plan slightly, you know, like in the minutiae of it. And be okay with that. You know, like, be a little bit okay with going with the flow, even though everything is like kind of so rigor.
Hard to go with the flow, but like
just in your day, you know, like in your day, I think like your planning can be like as tight as it needs to be. But then, like, you know, if you think that you're going to do, you know, your day is going to consist of like this ride to this ride to this ride, and then we're going to get all of them real quick, and then we're going to go have lunch, and then we're going to go to this ride and this ride and this ride. It may happen that way or it may not, you know, and you got to be like kind of okay with set your expectations realistically, I guess.
You should have like goals for the day. Should have like, I know I want to go. I know these are like, we always say must-dos.
Yep.
These are must-dos. And then everything else is like a bonus.
And then the only other like big planning tip is I like to arrange my trips around some sort of special event, like a nighttime event or something like that, like a special ticketed event. And then use that as a park day, and then have the daytime portion of that be a little bit more chill. And that's where you can do your Disney Springs. You could do your hangout by the pool at the resort, you know, that kind of stuff. And that way you're going to get a chance to be at whatever park that nighttime event is at, with hopefully with less crowds, you know, kind of like cool stuff, cool merch, cool food, blah, 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 maybe free food or included food, I should say. And it's also kind of like a fun thing to look forward to. It's not always available. You feel like, I don't know, I'm getting the special, the special cool treatment, you know? So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I like it. I mean, this isn't like our normal episode. We're not really like joking around, but I think it's important stuff to like, we just want everyone to be happy in the new year and really like start to enjoy this stuff again and not see everything through the lens of it's, you know, it's not fun to plan a Disney trip, because it still can be fun. It's not easy, I think is probably the better word, but it's still always fun. Even for me as someone that goes often, it's still fun.
Yeah.
And the more you do it, the more you get used to it, and it gets easier, and it just gets more about like doing things that you want to do this time, like you say, a special event, or if you're like, you know, this time I really want to stay at Coronado Springs and I'm going to do it, and like that's fun, and you could figure out how to do that.
Yeah. And you know, in your planning, I always try to like think of like a treat for myself. You know, maybe it's a special dining reservation. Maybe it's maybe it's a ride that you've never done before, or an attraction that you've never done before, like some sort of goal that way. Maybe it's, just walking around an area of the park that you've never been, something to like differentiate this trip from the last trip. I think that that's like, sometimes these can kind of blend together.
Sure.
And doing things that will help it differentiate itself makes it more like a little bit more special for me, and then if you can incorporate that into the planning of it, I think that it gives you like just something to be more excited about. Because if you do, you know, if you go every year and like, then the planning can kind of be like a drag, you know, like it's just like, oh, I'm doing this again, like planning the same thing, doing the same hotel, the same place, the same this, the same that. So Adrienne's looking down at her shoes. You love that. You love the comfortability of being there, having that nostalgia wash over you. Yeah.
A creature of habit, and I like the same things, but that's not everybody.
Yeah.
And I agree that there should always be something special. And I try to do that too, like something different or unique that you're doing this time that's different than last time, and it makes it, you know, more fun. And if you overdo something, like I've talked about this when we talked about the Christmas party, then I know it's time to change it up, because you don't want things to get stale.
True.
Yeah. Oh, so we really hope that everybody has a great.
I think one more tiny one is like, if you can, if you have it within you, to go spoiler free.
Oh yeah.
You should try to go spoiler free when you can. I know that it's like it's an itch that just begging to be scratched. But there is like there's real magic out there if you let it be there. Like if you let it wash over you for the first time, like you can really feel that magic. You're going to feel it anyways, but like you can really feel it if you have no idea what's about to happen.
I agree with that. That's a really good tip to end on. I like that one. That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you want to like, and I think you had said this, you don't want to be naive. You don't want to go into things like, you don't want to not know. If you could prepare to know your way around places.
Perfect. I think that's a fantastic idea, to know where things are. Yeah.
You know where, like, you're going. Yeah. You're cutting out that like, where am I? But if you could, if like specifically for things like rides or certain restaurants or different things like that, if you could be like, I heard this is cool and I want to wait and experience it, you'll have a better time.
Yeah, for sure.
And so, yeah, we really hope that everybody, you know, this year, like, tries to find the joy in planning a Disney trip, because it really is one of the fun parts. I mean, I know when I was going once a year, I geeked out on it. I loved, like, just planning. And speaking of geeked out, I want to end on this one thing with Ryan. This is totally off topic.
Yes.
So I was talking to my friend about this today, and, you know, when I was... So like, let's go back, like, so let's say hypothetically to the year, like, 2002.
I'm real drunk, okay.
There wasn't a word for, like, the word Disney adult wasn't around. Like, it wasn't like, I mean, granted, we were young, but people weren't referred to as Disney adults. But, you know, but I remember, like, the word that was used for people that were not children who liked Disney, we were called Diz nerds.
Yeah.
Did you have that term? Did you know that term?
I mean, I think that, you know, it's in my opening, you know, Diz nerds. And I think that I've had that term. I don't know that I think I just always associated with, like, somebody who really liked Disney and, you know, knew a lot about it and stuff like that. Regardless of the age.
Even when I did the college program, everybody referred to themselves as Diz nerds. So, like, oh, there's a bunch of Diz nerds.
Yeah.
But now people say, like, Disney adult. And I'm like, that's just funny the way, like, the zeitgeist, like, changed things. And it's like, you don't, like, you aren't referred to as a Diz nerd anymore. You're a Disney adult, which I guess is the same connotation. But it was an interesting, like, realization. I was like, oh, I don't know where that term specifically, like, came to be. But, I remember being like, adults who like Disney were Diz nerds. So, I don't know. It's interesting. It was an interesting thing that I don't know. If anybody remembers that, let us know on the socials. And with that.
Cool. Agreed. Yeah, or if, like, you had other things that you were referred to as, or that you referred to other Disney peoples as, I'd be curious to know what.
Yeah, before there were Disney adults, what do you remember people being called? Because, yeah, like, for me, it was Diz nerds, and I forgot about it. Like, yeah. I forgot about that as, like, a.
I think it was just, like, weirdos. Like, oh yeah, weirdos, Disney weirdos. Like, and I would hang my head in shame.
Also, like, 2002 was before, like, people wearing, like, mini ears to the parks. Like, the Mickey Mouse cap that had people's name, like, written on it.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
loved it.
That was more made for children. Like, you didn't see a lot of adults, like, using those. And then I feel like the first pair of mini ears I ever bought was on a trip to France when I was Disneyland Paris with my family. And that was when mini ears started to become cool. I think that was, like, around... I don't know. It wasn't as long ago as people think it was.
Well, they were made out of that, like, that shitty plastic. It was like the dish. It was like that disc, yeah, of shitty plastic that, yeah, like, had, like, one sharp edge, and then the face backwards. The one side. Yeah, and like, they were, like, lame. Like, they were, like, cheap.
Yeah.
You know, like, they were a cheap thing.
They were cheap because they were for kids. Like, yeah, they were supposed to be, like, just the
they
plastic.
Were like they were disposable. They were like, you're going to wear this for the day, you're going to break it, and then it's going to end up in, you know, in one of our very nice looking trash cans.
Yeah.
I think once they, you know, started make it was probably Etsy, right? Like, that.
Disney had these, like, mini ears that were the black sequin with the red bow. That was the first, like, That was the only one you could get for a very long time.
Gotcha.
And then Etsy started making, people on Etsy started making their own, and then Disney was like, oh, we got to have a catalog of them.
And then they...
But it's an interesting thing to see, like, the evolution of that, because it happened over the last, like, decade or so. It hasn't always been that way.
What do you think the next one's going to be? I know we're going, like, off topic, but...
The next one was the Loungefly backpacks.
For sure.
Which is currently what's...
Yeah, Spirit jerseys and then Loungefly.
Spirit jerseys. Now I think it's, like, the more, like, toned down... Like, there was also, like, the Selkie dresses, like, the adult women in the... That kind of went out with those puffy little dresses that adult women...
We've talked about, like, cool ponchos.
Yes,
Like, you know, should we make cool ponchos? Because, like, the Disney ponchos are... The poncho game's weak.
Yes. And we have a really cool slogan that we want to put on the back.
Yeah.
Of our ponchos. And you'll have to see. There is now somebody made a poncho that fits... Fits the ears.
Oh, smart.
Yeah, that does exist.
Clever girl.
I think now the thing is more like, in my opinion, is like the beige aesthetic, like the toned down Disney. Like, it'd be like a beige sweatshirt. They have this like beige sweatshirt now that has just like the Mickey Mouse giving the peace sign, and that sold out. So I feel like that's kind of the trend that we're going into now, is like more of like the subtle sort of cool. We had the trend of the
Pottery Barn Disney.
We had the trend of the cross bag, like the fanny pack.
Sling bag. Yeah.
Yeah. I think
having a backpack is definitely like one of the ways that I've upgraded my trips, like more than I ever, like, you know, like your dad would always walk around with that giant fanny pack. And I was like, that's such a horrible idea. Why are you doing that? You look like such a nerd.
They'd wear the fanny pack, and they'd have the big bag for the movie camera.
Oh, my God. It's so huge. Weighed like 100 pounds.
How did they do that all day long?
They were all jacked. Our dads were all jacked.
Our dads were all young, too. Too old for that.
But the backpack, you know, like a cool backpack that you can, like, keep your poncho in, keep some snacks in. Such an upgrade to my day.
I've actually evolved from the Loungefly, because I used like it was actually a Stony Clover. That's another popular Disney brand, but almost like a regular size backpack, and I actually enjoyed it more because I was able to put like a coat in there, a pair of flip flops in case my feet got stuff it out a little bit more. And I'm like, okay, I think I'm evolving past the Loungefly. It could fit a lot of stuff, but it's annoying to like get everything out, to get everything back in, and so I was liking my more regular size backpack.
Maybe that'll be the next gen. You know, is like cool, more regular size backpacks.
More regular size, yeah. We'll see.
We'll find out.
Are we good?
We'll find out in 2024.
We'll find out in 2024. Hopefully, we'll be back soon with some more structured episodes.
Yeah, we're still in our relaxed fit though, guys, because yes. You know, we're not in a rush to get into 2024. We're just chilling.
Right, we just got back from the holiday, so we know this episode went up a little later than others, but we, you know, we're doing the best we can, guys.
Yeah. When we say Wednesday, we mean Wednesday. It might be at midnight.
Wednesday. Any day Wednesday.
Yeah. Anytime Wednesday, including 11:59, which is maybe... what time you're listening to this. So,
The Dark Ride, presented by Drunk Distery, is available every Wednesday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else podcasts are available. The show is free, but you can pay us by simply liking and subscribing, giving us that 5-star rating review, or just telling a fellow theme parks loving friend to listen. Email us questions or shout outs at drunkdistery@gmail.com and follow us on Instagram at The Dark Ride Podcast. Also, I just want to say this again, if you create a post and you put it to your story like we asked for, and there's so many of you that do it, and I super appreciate it. If you could also tag me, I'm sorry to give you an extra step. It's it's me, Adrian. It's ITSMEADRIANE. I will see it quicker because I get an alert on my phone. There's some of them that I missed, and I super apologize for that. So if you tag the Dark Ride Podcast and me, I will see it, and I will make sure it gets up there and gets reposted. TikTok is @DrunkDistery. As always, guys, thank you for drinking theme parks with us, and we look forward to a good 2024 with you. Cheers.
Cheers.